As we read the Word of God together this morning, Matthew chapter 5, and beginning at verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Oh, it's just struck me as I was reading that Jesus sitting there on a hillside teaching his disciples and those followers, and yet you've given us those words for us today to have, and it's just like Jesus and just like he did back then. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear our preacher come and preach to us from the Word of God. God, do a work in our hearts today. Speak to us. Use us for what your will is in our lives. Help us. Now, Father, I pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. And, Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would settle that and accept him before they leave this room. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, it is very important that you turn your cell phone off or to vibrate. Now listen, if it goes off in the service and we hear it, you will be immediately afflicted with a parasitic disease in your intestines. And you'll never be able to get rid of it. So, turn your cell phone off or turn it to vibrate, please. Now, I want you to do me a favor. Look at your watch, you bunch of clock watching Baptist. Look at your watch. Look at this. According to my watch, I have about 90 seconds to preach the sermon this morning. Because then it's noon. And the good news is, I have a 90-second sermon this morning. The bad news is I didn't bring it. But here's the thing. Please listen very carefully if you would. We've been talking about what is real joy. What is that really? What is real peace? Today I want to talk to you about what are real blessings. Now, I don't know, maybe I might be alone in this thought this morning, but I need blessings in my life today. Don't you? Huh? Apparently most of you are all blessed up, so you're good to go. But I need blessings in my life. I want them. And please don't think it's for a selfish purpose. I want blessings because I need... No, I need my life to be blessed today. I seek the blessings of God in my life. I want God to bless me. But sometimes I think we don't quite understand what real blessings are. Now, a blessing in the Bible means to bestow favor on someone, to show them a kindness, to provide a need in someone's life. Blessing. But do we understand today, do we really understand what real blessings are? Now, this passage that was read to you today is from what is called the Beatitudes. It comes from Jesus' great sermon. He didn't have any bad ones, by the way. But his great sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he started it with, Blessed are the poor, for... And then he started to disseminate and tell us certain groups of people who would be blessed for the conditions that they encountered, experienced, for their convictions and their beliefs. sometimes for the condition of their life. Those Beatitudes there listed, blessed are the poor and blessed, those things are Him telling us, here's a special blessing for this person who's going through this thing in their life right now. But sometimes I think we misunderstand what real blessings are. For example, are real blessings only positive things in our life? Only positive things. See, I want you to look at your Bibles this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, the blessing obviously is that they have the kingdom of heaven. By the way, that does not mean they get to go to heaven because they're poor. Kingdom of heaven in the Bible is talking about God's plan and His provision for life. But He says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Please look, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's the blessing for mourners, those who have broken hearts, the comfort of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek means with restrained power in their life. It's talking about innocent people, people who cannot defend themselves or take care of themselves well. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, we won't read them all, but now look at me for a moment. See, we see the blessing attached to the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We see the blessing attached to those who mourn. They get comfort. We see the blessing attached to the meek. They shall inherit the earth. We see the But now listen carefully. You have to be poor in spirit to know what the kingdom of heaven is. We think blessings are just positive things. Only good things in my life. If I'm blessed, it's because I have good things that happened to me. Yesterday in the services, I went around to all the different services and things, and I missed one or two, I believe, but I got to most all of them, drove all over town, went back and forth, back and forth. And one of the services I went up to was here on the property. As a matter of fact, a lady was there with her children, and she said, how are you today? And I said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed today. See, that's because you felt good, Pastor Johnson. No, I was tired, but I was blessed. Please listen to me. Blessings are not always just positive things that happen in our lives. You have to be poor in spirit to know all that God has for you. So listen, you have to have the negative to know the positive of this thing. See, we think I'm blessed if I'm healthy. Truth of the matter is, the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he learned that the strength of God was made perfect in his weakness. Not in his strength. So he had to be weak to know what strength was. See, in the Bible, please listen to me. In the Bible, there are those great principles that are so contrary to our natural minds, like you have to give to get. You have to lose to gain. That's just contrary to our thinking. But the truth is, if you're poor in spirit, that does not mean material poor. It means you're going through a time where your own spirit is just not sufficient to hold you up because of a particular burden or trial or difficulty. You go through that and you find out the will of God for your life and His guidance and direction. And the blessing comes from the difficulty you experience and the blessing God brings because of the difficulty. But you have to have the difficulty. See, we live in a nation today where we want our political leaders to wipe away all of our problems. Make them all go away. Solve all of our problems. Give every man a job. Give everybody a job. Give them all chicken in their pot. Fix everything for them. Give them free this. Give them free that. Give them everything they're supposed to want because then everybody will be happy. Some people need to go back to the founding of our nation, to Thomas Jefferson's statement, which was a government that is powerful enough to give you everything you want is also powerful enough to take it all away from you. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, listen, nobody got up and prayed for trouble today. But you have to have trouble to find what blessings are. So blessings are not just positive. I'm not blessed in my life, Pastor Johnson. I don't feel good. I've got bad health. I'm not blessed. I don't have the job I'm supposed to have. Or I don't even have a job. I'm not blessed today, Pastor Johnson. I don't have. And we think about what we lack and say we're lacking blessings because of it, when in reality, blessings are not always positive. They come from things in our life that are difficult. But from the difficulties of poor in spirit, from the difficulties of the mourning because of a broken heart, because of the difficulties, God brings blessings in our life. And truthfully speaking, you'll never know what a real good blessing is until you've been through trouble. Then you find out what blessings are. We were talking about it the other day when we were in several of the fellows in the church and us, we went to Africa, and we were in Kenya, and we had left the city of Nairobi, and we were driving to the city where our missionary was in Kisii, and we were all crammed in this little van, luggage all piled on top of it, driving out across these really bad roads in Africa. And the missionary had been there, Brother Shelby, been there, I think, 12 years at that time. He's been there much longer now, about 12 years at that time. And he did not show that car any mercy. And he didn't miss many potholes either. And, I mean, he was flying. And anytime he got a good piece of road, he put the hammer down and took off. See, what was the speed limit? Folks, it was the middle of nowhere in Africa. There was no speed limit. First time he got up to good ahead of speed, the car started to shake, and we thought something was wrong. So we got out, and Dr. Martinez is over in the Spanish-speaking ministry. He was near the door. We said, "Doc, take a look at the tire and see." Now, may I recommend to you not have a doctor look at a tire? That's just a recommendation. And he got out, and he looked at it. He goes, "Looks okay to me." And he got back in the car, and we take off again. Brother Shelby got that van flying down the road again, and then it really started to shake. Well, the guys in the car who knew things about vehicles knew something's not right. So he said, "Hey, we pull over." So he pulls over. We no sooner pull that van over the side of the road out in the middle of nowhere in Africa than the left tire that he looked at to said was fine fell off. It fell off. Went into the wheel well of that car. Somewhere along the way, those lug nuts that had held that tire on there had come off, and it just, and it leaned over like that. And we got it and we thought, "Oh, man, we could have been killed." So we got a jack out, and we started jacking the back of the van up. And, I mean, we're really basically in the middle of nowhere. There was a little fruit stand there on the side of the road and things. And we were, and then we were starting to think, well, you know, there's not a Napa auto parts store where we're going to get lug nuts for this tire. Now, look at me. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to, but this is the truth. That man was right there. That man was right there. That man was right there. Two ladies come out of the bush, walked up to us, and dropped lug nuts on the ground and walked off. Now, if you're thinking, well, they must have picked him up. No, not at 70 miles an hour, they didn't. And we just stood there. And then we thought, I wonder if they fit. Well, how stupid could that be? Where's your faith? If they come out of nowhere with lug nuts, they've got to fit. I mean, God's going to make them fit, right? Sure enough, put them on the tire, tightened it down, whoop, took off. We went out, and to this day, we still call it the miracle of the lug nuts. To this day, couldn't believe it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it was a hand of God that, A, kept us from crashing and killing us all there, but also provided lug nuts for a tire in the middle of nowhere in Africa. They'd fit. But you had to have a tire come off. You understand what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? We talk about the miracle of the lug nuts. The truth is, God said, "I'm going to make the tire come off," then these two ladies up, little black angels out there in the woods. I'm going to have them come out with these lug nuts, drop them at their feet, and walk off. And that's what I think they're angels put out there by God to provide us with what we needed. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, we consider blessings only good things in life. Well, those are blessings. Positive things are blessings. You laugh in your body this morning, you are blessed. But if you struggle through poor health and you have to pray to get a hold of God for grace for your day, you're still blessed. You understand? What are real blessings? Are they only positive things, just good stuff that happens to us in our life? You see, are real blessings only things that happen in the present, right now, this minute? Boy, if it's something good that happens to me in today, then it's a blessing. So you've never had something happen to you that wasn't a blessing at the moment that became a blessing later on? But at that time, it wasn't good. You know that Romans 8:28, all things work together for good thing? You know, it all works together for good. Doesn't mean it happens for good. It means it comes together for good. So you've never had anything happen to you that wasn't a blessing at the time, but later on it turned out to be a blessing in your life? Where God actually turned a difficulty, a trial, a valley, a hardship, an opposition, a setback, a loss. And that turned out to be a blessing. Have you ever experienced something that didn't seem like a blessing at the time, but it was later? Don't you understand? God makes trials into blessings. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great preacher in the middle 1800s. They consider him the prince of preachers. Baptist preacher in London. Of course he's a Baptist. Baptist preacher in London. Charles Haddon Spurgeon battled with gout when there really wasn't much cure for that then, and tuberculosis. It may have been the fact because he smoked cigars and drank beer. I'm not sure, but he did both of those. And I don't do that much. And the truth is, he was in London at a time when they burned coal for heat. And the air quality was the worst you could possibly imagine. I've been in London a few times. You go up on the rooftops of some of those old buildings in Earl's Court and a few places there in the suburbs of London, the coal dust is still that thick on top of the buildings. So he's got tuberculosis and he's living in, he's got horrible health, terrible health. He's got a church that's so large and growing that they have to give out tickets to come to the Sunday morning service. And if you had that ticket for that day, you couldn't come back Sunday night because there was another 6,000 people who wanted to come back Sunday night. And he had this poor health in his life and it caused him to have to leave, go over to France, buy mineral baths and mentone in France and sit there to get his lungs cleared up enough to go back and preach. He spent months by these mineral baths and it afflicted him because he couldn't be home preaching to his people and pastoring his church, and it bothered him because he had this poor health. But did you know that he's probably also the most read preacher of any generation? There are literally dozens of volumes of books and literature and writings that Charles Spurgeon put together that God used him to do, and he did them all by the mineral baths of Mentone, France. And that was the middle 1800s. It's 2012, and I guarantee any preacher worth his salt has got those same dozens of volumes in their library and have read them many times over and blessed by what was written, but it would not have happened had he not sat by the mineral baths of Mentone, France. Blessings in the present are only blessings if they're in the present. Christian, look at me. You can't trust God to turn this thing into something good. You can't trust Him for that. You mean to tell me God looked down from heaven and give the big oops and He didn't understand why you're going through what you're going through? Don't you understand even sometimes the most difficult things in life become blessings? But the man Job said, when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He was talking about being in the crucible of his suffering and difficulty. God used that, and Job's a man who's a blessing people today by the patience of Job. See, do we really know what real blessings are? You say, well, I'll tell you what I could use without some of the blessings I'm going through in my life right now, Pastor Johnson. No, you know the truth of the matter is you're not the person you are or never be the person you could be without the things you're going through that you don't like either. I didn't like it living in a drunkard's home as a boy. I didn't like being beaten by my stepfather. I didn't like the childhood that I had living in that house. 8-year-old little boys shouldn't be sitting there thinking about dying. Or standing in a hallway on a chair and unscrewing a light bulb in a hallway with a baseball bat in my hand to lay that drunk out when he came around that corner if he ever laid his hand on me again. 8-9-year-olds shouldn't think like that, right? You think I was an 8-9-year-old boy and I looked at it and I thought, hey, this will be good someday. You know how much of a blessing that's been to me in my life in ministry? Being able to help people who go through similar things like that in their life. You know how many times I've had kids put their little head right here on my shoulder and weep tears and say, preacher, nobody understands what I had to go through in my life as a child. I said, I do, son. I do, young lady. Been there, done that, bought that T-shirt. Did God want me to go through that as a child? No. Has it become a blessing in my life and the life of others? Yes. Don't you understand? Don't you get the picture? All right, so it doesn't look like a blessing. The truth of the matter is America needs to wake up about some things, so we have to go through tough times to get there. When has America, blessed as we are, ever been spiritual at the peak of our economic blessings? Never. No, we've got to lose it all. We got to get wiped out by a depression. We got to get wiped out by a recession. We got to get wiped out by something for America to wake up. Don't you see? Most of us are going to get spiritual in our lives from a time of difficulty, but the difficulty then was a blessing. Don't you see that? What are real blessings? Are blessings only things that I receive? You ever get jealous of somebody and their blessings? Never ceases to amaze me how a couple come in the office, marital problems. While they're talking to me, they'll say, Oh, Pastor Johnson, our marriage is in trouble and we're having this difficulty. I wish we were like so-and-so, and they'll name this other couple who, unbeknownst to them, was in my office the week before saying we're going through such trouble. And I wish I could say, you should have been here last week. They got a mess worse than you have. Trust me, I can't say that. I do hold up pictures, though. No, I don't do that. But so I'm only blessed if I receive a blessing, right? That's it. Gimme, 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 gimme. Right? Or am I blessed because I receive a blessing and then I'm a blessing to somebody else in my life? It is more blessed to what now? To give than to... So it's not about me, right? Boy, we live in this world today. It's the big me world now. It's all about me. What I give, what I want, what I have, what I am, what I do, where I am, what I go, what I receive. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's the way the world is today. And by the way, that disease is infecting and affecting us as Christians if we're not careful. See, we were blessed yesterday in that big day in May. It was a blessing to be a blessing to people. But there were some people we ministered to and gave them food to eat and did things for them. They never said thank you, kiss my foot, fly off, or jump off a bridge, nothing. But it doesn't make any difference because we weren't there to get a thank you. We're just there to help people. That's all. Just to be a blessing to somebody. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Make me a blessing. See, you're missing something. You're thinking because you don't receive the blessings others get. Receive in their life, you think that you're missing something. Well, no one ever does that to me. Pastor, a friend of mine in Southern California, he had a wreck happen right out in front of his church. And he and his staff guys went out to help this lady. And she was seriously injured. And they stayed with her, called the ambulance. They helped her and things. And then the ambulance came, took her to the hospital. You know, and then she sent him a nice thank you note 2-3 weeks later on with a $300,000 check in it. Now, we've been putting tax strips out here and potholes and everything else, and nothing's working. We're almost to the point where we're going to start shooting tires on cars. Something. No, we get sued. He gets a check for $300,000. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Johnson. What is that all about? Oh, so he's the only one who's blessed. Only blessings are only things you get, what I get. Not being a blessing to somebody else. And not for a pat on the back and an attaboy and give me this and give me that. But just to have the opportunity to bless somebody else. You know, you need to go home and read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 where it talks about this thing about how we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we receive of God. But you have to be comforted to get that. But then you know that's true. The best comforters on the planet are people who've been through that before. And they can sit with you. They can sit in the ashes and they can comfort you because they have been through trial. Then because of that, they receive blessings. You know, that's why, listen to me, child of God, that's why it's so wrong for you to have salvation, the amazing, incredible, unspeakable gift of God, for you to have salvation and never tell another soul about it. That's wrong. It's wrong for a lot of reasons, but the primary reason is this. You're being selfish. You have your fire insurance. You're saved from hell, going to heaven, and you don't care to tell anyone else about that. One more time, I've been in this city now almost 30 years and I've heard about this large Christian community in Redding, California. Well, the truth of the matter is, besides a bunch of nuts going around trying to heal everybody in town, I don't see many others out there trying to help somebody with salvation and giving them Christ and the gospel. So what's this about? Can I ask you a question? What's it about, child of God? You have your salvation, you have eternal life, and you never tell anyone else how they can be saved. Well, I don't want to force them. Well, don't force them. You don't have to force it. You can just tell them. We told people yesterday, I talked to a young man yesterday. He simply received Christ as his Savior. You don't have to force anybody, but you can tell them, you know. Don't you see? Real blessings are not just what I receive. Real blessings are what I get to give. And blessings are only the ones that we asked for. You know, somebody does something for you didn't want them to do for you. And you look at them and say, thanks, I needed that. You know those knuckleheads when you slam your finger in the door and they say, well, praise the Lord anyhow. Grab their hand, slam in the door so they can join you and be blessed also. No, don't do that. But So we prayed for trials and trouble. We prayed for difficulties. We prayed for opposition and setback. We prayed for... No, we don't. So it's not a blessing because I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for that. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. You didn't ask for that God brought into your life, the God who knows you better and knows what you need and what others need through you in your life. You didn't ask for that, so that's not a blessing. How do you not see it as a blessing? If I'm in the will of God, a preacher said years ago, it stuck with me, everything that happens to a Christian in the will of God is the will of God. All of it. Well, I didn't ask for that trouble. You didn't have to. Like praying for patience. Never pray for patience. Please, please, please never pray for patience. Romans chapter 5 says, tribulation worketh patience. You pray for patience, you're going to have nothing but trouble. Pray for grace. Patience will just have to work itself out. The truth of the matter is, I don't need people. God, give me some trouble in my life today. I don't need that. But the troubles of my life, they do produce things that I would never have asked for unless God of heaven knew better than gave it to me. I was preaching in Oregon on a Saturday, and it was in the wintertime, and I had to get up to Oregon, preach. My wife went with me and get back on Saturday. We're checking the weather, and it looked like snow in the mountains, and we thought, and I look at me, I do not like the snow. I spent 5 years in snow country. I don't want to dig in it. I don't want to walk in it. I don't want to play in it. People who play in the snow, you're crippled too high for crutches. You know you got problems. I like snow where it's supposed to be, way over there on those mountains where you can see it. If it's going to snow at my house, I want it melted before I get in the car and drive out the next morning. I don't want the snow. I don't like the snow. I don't want to play in the snow. That's stupid. It is. That's a bad case of the stupids to go out and jump in the snow and get freezing cold and talk about how fun it is to get frostbite. Think about it. So driving back, we had to get back late Saturday, early evening actually. We're driving back and we had to cross, you know, from Medford back to here to Redding. We had to cross these 2-3 mountain passes, snow levels dropping. I didn't take any chains with me. And the guy at the church I preached at said, here, use these if you need them. I chained up 4 times that night. Don't laugh. You're not a blessing. And the 4th time, I mean, it was cold, snowy, nasty, and should have just taken, well, never mind how long it takes me to drive up there, but it shouldn't have taken very long. I didn't get home till Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. But the last time we chained up, somehow the chains wouldn't work, couldn't get them on again for some reason, and I finally got them. We got going again, and then we pulled up on an accident that we missed because I chained up that one last time. There was 2 semi-trucks that hit each other head-on on the freeway, and it looked like an airplane wreck, and there was burning wreckage across that highway. We missed that wreck by no more than 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes at the most. There was no support there, no highway patrol, no ambulances. And you could see in that one cab of that truck where that man had been crushed to death, you could see red parts, bloody pulpy parts throughout that truck and his hands sticking out from underneath that truck. That would have been us had I not had to chain up that one last time. Well, I was asking God to keep me from having to chain up. God was saying, you need to chain up one more time so you can get home alive. I didn't ask for that, but God knew better. So Pastor Johnson, when you said blessings, I thought you were going to talk about all the good stuff in life. It's all good. Oh, yes, it is. That stuff you went through as in your youth, it's all good. Because God makes blessings out of difficulties. I said it's all good. Every bit of it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But you have to get to that category to get that particular blessing. Question. Do we really know what real blessings are? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.